Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it is an honor to have on our show right now the managing partner of the Philadelphia Phillies, John Middleton. Happy birthday, John.
Hey, thanks, Angelo. It's I reached that age where I'm not sure I'm entirely happy to be reminded I'm a year older, but better to be reminded than not to have to be able to be reminded, huh?
Well, you got a lot to celebrate right now, John. I was really curious. I was watching the news coverage Saturday, and I was trying to imagine what you were going through as someone who had had so much success in business, and now an entirely different business deal came to fruition. Can you compare for it what it's like in the business world and what you just went through at Bryce Harper?
Well, I think the big difference is that this is such a public process. I mean, when you're, you know, because of literally the SEC rules, I mean, you know, when we were selling our companies, we couldn't talk to anyone about anything, and nor could the people who were buying our companies. And so you're doing this all in secrecy. You reach a deal, and all of a sudden you just kind of make an announcement. But, you know, we had not just months, because if you go back, you know, you go back a year ago when we signed Jake, and at the press conference, people, you know, were asking me, "Wow, what are you going to do next year? And who are you going to go after?" And so there's been, if I said years of anticipation for this, that's not an exaggeration. And then obviously, starting in the off season, it was really super focused and intense scrutiny. So you're doing this in a fishbowl. It's a crucible, and everything you say is recorded and analyzed, and everything you do is, you know, observed and analyzed. And there's also so much, you know, I read almost every article, written this offseason about particularly Manny and Bryce, but just about the offseason. And, you know, Angela, knowing what was said about the Phillies, I mean, at least half of it wasn't true. There was like no basis. People were saying, John's thinking this and John's thinking that. And I'm saying, how do you know what I'm thinking? You haven't even talked to me. And so when you look at everything else that's said about the other teams, you have the same kind of reaction. How can I believe what I'm reading, you know, in some guy's article because, about the Dodgers or the Giants, because I know what they're saying about me is not true. And that really is, it's obviously a complicating factor. It makes it really hard to kind of manage through the process. But the goods, that's the problem. But the really great news is when you're successful, like we were, it's a public celebration. I mean, the reaction, I wish, frankly, I were up in the city and not down in Clearwater, because I understand it's phenomenal. And certainly if you look at the ticket sales, the jersey sales, I mean, it's kind of beyond anything we could have anticipated.
John, it's the biggest reaction to a player transaction I've ever seen, ever. And here's the thing about it. I'm really curious, because I know you're kind of an emotional, you're a fan. What is it like in the moment when they say, yes, Bryce Harper's coming here? What was that like for you?
Well, Matt used the word surreal yesterday. Mm. Listened to his interview, and that's a really good description. You know, Angelo, it's not like a light switch that went off. So it was like one moment you're feeling one thing, and then the next split second you're feeling something entirely different. That was the moment of the World Series when this was a bit more gradual. So, you know, I thought it reached an impasse by late Wednesday night. And Matt and I both went to bed thinking that it was much more likely we weren't going to make a deal than we were. Andy and Ned Rice were more optimistic. I can't tell you whether they were 50-50 or slightly less than that. But, you know, so when I woke up on Thursday, I kind of figured that I'm going to have to kind of prepare myself for the rest of my life without Bryce. And then Scott called, and, you know, Matt called him back. And when he called us after about 11 o'clock, I guess it was, after he had that first call and said, I think we got a deal here, guys, or there's the makings of a deal. I guess I was about 80% confident. And then we had a conversation internally, and then Matt called Scott back, and he called back around 1:30 and he said, you know, listen, or about 1 o'clock, I guess it was. He said, listen, here's the deal. If you guys agree to that, Scott tells me that Bryce will agree to that. And we'll have a deal. And we said, yes. But even then, Angelo, you still have to have this thing called a letter of intent that's signed. And so until you get that signed letter of intent back, you don't really have a deal. I mean, so, you know, at say 1 or 1:30, I was like 95% confident, but really until you get that signed letter of intent back. So it was kind of like I was kind of gradually getting into it. But once you get that letter of intent back, I mean, I was elated. I was ecstatic. And I still am. I mean, it's cool. This is a really good lineup now. I mean, it's, you know, I read lots of articles, both from our local reporters and also national reporters who are saying it's arguably the deepest lineup in the National League. It's the best lineup the Phillies have had since the heyday of the 08-09 teams. It's a really, really good lineup, and it's really extraordinarily gratifying to have put together, you know, for Matt. And, you got to really give credit to Matt Klentak, who put together this spectacular offseason. I mean, we knew, and we said back in November that we were not just one player away from having a really good team. And if you look at the different moves he made, you know, the trade for Segura, the signing of Kutch, the signing of Robertson, you know, and then the extension of Aaron Nola gets kind of overlooked sometimes in this, because we've now locked up a spectacular pitcher for a long time. And then the trade for JT, and you cap it off with the signing of Bryce. I mean, you may or may not be aware of this. ESPN says it's the first time in the history of Major League Baseball that a general manager has acquired three All-Stars from the prior year in one offseason.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even include, you know, the signing of McCutchen and Robertson and the extension of Aaron or those kinds of things. So, I mean, you know, seriously, if, you know, Branch Rickey never had this kind of an offseason. You know, Pat Gillick never had this kind of an offseason. Now, I'm not telling you that he had the greatest single offseason in the history of baseball, but you know what? If you made that statement, people might quibble with it, but they can't really argue with it too hard, because nobody's ever done what this kid did.
But, John, in order to do that, you do need the support of the ownership.
And the ownership.
So can you just explain to Philadelphia what it's like, one transaction, $330 million? What's that like? Because I would have like a little buyer's remorse at some point. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I guess, Angelo, in my world, as I thought about it, maybe that's the difference between being a little stupid and completely stupid. it's a big risk. And the reality is, when we were looking at this offseason, and I was looking at it, I knew we had to do a lot of things, and I really wanted to kind of not encourage the team, the front office, to do them and kind of push them to do it and hold a really high goal out there. And, you know, part of it, when you looked at it, you just said, you know, we can do a lot of things, and we did, but if you don't sign one of the two big free agents, it's going to be a little flat, and you're gonna have left a hole, you know, in your team somewhere. And so we kept pushing it. And you had to, I think, emotionally and psychologically, just get over the fact that you were going to have to set a record here. Mm. And if you were bothered by that, if you were troubled by that, I just didn't think you could be a serious player in the negotiation. And ultimately, because we made, you know, our initial offer was for $330 million, which is the record. You know, honestly, when I read all these reports about the Dodgers coming in and the Giants coming in, my reaction was, you know what? I'm the leader in the clubhouse. You're coming after me. I don't have to go after you. You're chasing me. And we just kind of could sit there and wait, because we knew, you know, I didn't think anybody else was going to touch that. And they didn't.
Wow, that is a good, that part we didn't know before. John, I'm really curious, you referenced the stupid money thing. You got to experience what a player does with the fame you suddenly got. Everybody was talking about you during this offseason, and the fact that you even felt they didn't take your comment in the manner in which you delivered it. right? I mean, they even kind of turned that around on you a little bit. What was it like to have to deal with the kind of fame that your players have to deal with?
So they didn't turn around a little bit, right, Angela. They turned around about 180 degrees, but certainly by a lot. You know, and look, the hard part for me with that was, you know, I knew when I made that comment, and it was an intentional comment. I mean, it wasn't just something that slipped out. It was a comment, you know, as I thought about the offseason and what we had to do, I wanted to send a clear, concise message to, you know, our fans, to the team, to our organization, that I expected us to get a lot better. And I didn't want to do this over a series of incremental steps. I mean, you'll remember back a few years ago when I was on the show and we were talking, and I told you I was going to do anything I could to get that bleep trophy back. You know, and as I looked at 2018, and it really was a tale of kind of two seasons, the first 4+ months and the last month and a half. You know, I thought we were ready to make an aggressive move, and I wanted it to be kind of one big move in 2018 to 2019 season, rather than a couple, two or three smaller incremental moves over two or three off seasons. So I set that marker out there. I set that as a goal. You know, and you know, Matt, when you asked him about it yesterday, he said, you know what, it raised the bar. And you know what, Angela, that's exactly what it was intended to do. Mm. And I knew when I raised the bar, particularly when I raised it publicly, rather than, you know, I could have made that statement in an office somewhere that, you know, two or three people would have heard. But by making it publicly, I made it a public expectation, which was part of raising the bar. And look, sometimes leaders have to kind of eliminate the easy way out. You know, they have to say to their people, their organization, you guys, I'm going to push you beyond what our traditional comfort zone is. And part of doing that is to cut off the escape route. And that's really what that comment did. It cut off the escape route. It kind of committed the organization to a series of decisions that was really going to test its mettle. And, you know, and look, great thing is, you know, Matt passed with flying colors. I mean, you know, I always have thought that this was a really exceptional young man, that he's a really great mind, but he also has great instincts. And watching him create this strategy to fill all these holes and have to do it sequentially and still leave that last big piece, you know, in either the signing of Manny or Bryce was, I mean, honestly, it was brilliant. And you know what? I know Matt's always had confidence that he could step up to the plate and deliver when the time came. The difference is today he's delivered and he knows that he can perform. And that's really important, because when I sat back and thought about this, I had a front row seat with David. I was the most involved partner, you know, going back pretty much forever. And watching and working with David while he rebuilt the team in the, you know, in the early 2000s, one of the things I observed, Angelo, is, you know, the decisions that David in the front office had to make in 2000, 2004 were pretty easy. You know, by the time you get to 2008, however, the decisions get a lot tougher. Your judgments about your player's ability, your team's needs have to be much more astute. Your judgment about what a player you're trying to bring in, either by trade or by signing a free agency, has to be more astute. And you know, in the pressure, when you have a World Series title on the line and you're negotiating to trade for Doc Holliday and you're negotiating to sign Cliff Lee, and you're thinking that this is we need this to win the World Series, not just to make the playoffs, but to win the World Series, that's enormous pressure. And you know, from my perspective, the great thing about this offseason is Matt now knows he can operate at a very high level in that crucible. And I know, and frankly, we all should know, this guy is really, he is a full-fledged elite GM in this game. And I couldn't be happier for the guy. He's also a really good person on top of being a really good GM.
John, there's one thing I couldn't get him to tell us that I'm dying to hear from you. Start of the process, two great young players, Harper and Machado. Did you have a preference going in?
No, I think, so we looked at this, from a variety of different ways. I mean, there was the pure kind of analytics of baseball, you know, and I think, and if you, I think our judgment there kind of fell in line with a lot of people. There's very, very little room to separate these guys. They bring different skills, but they bring elite skills. And we looked at this, and I finally said to people, this is the question I asked them. I said, look, forget whether you have a preference for one of these players or not. Let me give you a hypothetical. Whatever your preference is, imagine that your less preferred player is ready to make a deal for us, with us, that we think is reasonable. Are you going to pass on the less preferred player in the hopes that you can sign your preferred player later? And everybody said no. They said, it doesn't matter which one I prefer, I will take whichever one of them is willing to sign with us from, you know, it's the first time. And that's really how we proceeded. And so, you know, what that meant, you know, for Matt is he had to keep all these options fluid. So when we were looking at, you know, after signing Segura, and that moved Reese back to first base, and we had to fill left field. Now there were three outfielders we were looking at. Well, you know, once we signed Kutch, there were two outfielders out there, and you know, but he couldn't go after the other one because going after the other one would have precluded us going after Bryce, and we weren't going to do that. So it was really, really masterful. But no, we would have been happy with either of them. But I will say this, the one thing that Bryce had over Manny, clearly, is the Philadelphia fans loved him. And that was abundantly clear throughout the offseason. And so, you know, the fact that it kind of played out the way it played out, and look, part of the reason we walked away from Manny at the end there was that reason. You know, we just felt that, you know, even though, well, we just felt that taking Manny and not, you know, when Bryce was still available, just wasn't going to play well with the fan base. And so we passed because we just felt that, you know, I guess Todd Zielecki did a poll on social media, got 9,000 votes, 87, maybe 88% of them, Angelo, were in favor of Harper. So I mean, I just, you know, it just tells you something. And that, you know, was what, kind of really the difference maker, I think.
What amazes me about this is you're an incredibly successful businessman. You guys were not aware of the difference in what would happen to your business if Harper was signed versus Machado? Because Machado had that hustle thing hanging over his head too, John. John, we saw here in the city that Harper was going to move the needle spectacularly, and he did.
Yeah, so we did feel that way, and that's what I just said to you. I mean, you know, we were aware of the 87-88% vote on Todd Zielecki's fan poll. I mean, we got all that kind of feedback, and that is actually why, at the end of the day, you know, when the push came to shove, we walked away from you know, the Manny deal. What I don't think anybody, I mean, look, Fangraphs are saying that this is the largest 24-hour sale of the jersey of any player in any sport changing to any team. I don't think you can predict that. I think you can say this is going to be popular, this is going to be well-received, but this has been like a tidal wave. I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, it's been, you said it earlier in the conversation, I mean, you've never seen anything like it. So while we thought the fans, we were very confident the fans would react positively, their reaction is overwhelming.
All right, John,
it really is.
This is probably the most important question because we know how competitive you are. Are you closer now to getting that damn trophy back?
You know what? I think when you look at each of the moves that Matt has made this offseason, I think we've taken a significant step towards getting that bleep trophy back. I really do. You know, and that's not to say that we won't have more work to do. I mean, you know, you're always – Your job is never finished. You're always looking at your team and trying to figure out ways to get better. You know, and that doesn't change for us even after the signing of Bryce. We got to keep looking and keep working and digging hard. And I think we've taken a huge step forward, and that was the goal of the offseason, to do just that.
Jim, what's your expectation with this team this year? What do you think? What do you expect to see? And the level of success.
So I expect us to be competitive all the way down the line. I think one of the hard things is really going to be, Angela, that this is probably the toughest division in baseball, top to bottom. You have four teams that are separated. If you look at the various projections, there's five games separating number one from number four, which, in a 162-game schedule where you're playing the other three teams 19 times, it's nothing. I mean, you can, a couple of errors in the ninth inning that cost you two games can be the switch between fourth and first place. So it's going to be a dogfight, but we're going to be in that fight. I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but I can't imagine, Angelo, that you're going to see the fall off that we saw in the last 6 weeks of last season. I think this is a different team. This is a team in particular. I think we've improved in all areas, but I think at the plate is perhaps the biggest area. And I was talking with John Maley, our hitting coach, the other day. I was talking to Charlie out at the batting cage, and both of them independently said to me, John, you brought in really good hitters. You've got brought in guys who have know the strike zone. They got plate discipline. They don't chase pitches out of the zone. They have high contact rates in the zone. You've got guys who can now make productive outs where we weren't making them last year. You have guys who aren't going to strike out when we were striking out last year. So, they just said we're going to be a vastly better team offensively than we were a year ago. And we're going to be better defensively. Mm. I mean, Segura is a big upgrade at shortstop. And Kutch is a big upgrade defensively in left field too. So I think we're going to be in good shape.
John,
I'm optimistic.
Last thing, because you really had great success. That's how you got to be a managing partner of a Major League Baseball team. What's more fun, cigars or baseball?
Do you really think I need to answer that question?
You seem like you're having such a good time now,
it's definitely baseball. I mean, it's not even close. And as my wife likes to say, everything in life's a double-edged sword. And the fact that it's such a public enterprise makes managing a baseball team difficult because you have all the, we got 5 million plus fans who are looking at every move we make every day. And we've got scads of reporters, whether it's TV, radio, print, reporting on everything we do every day. And that's a crucible, and it's a lot of pressure. And if you can't handle the pressure, you need to get out of the kitchen, as Harry Truman used to say. But as I said earlier, when you succeed, it's such a public celebration that it's unbelievably gratifying. And I am really, look, I've always said we have a spectacular fan base. I knew we tested their patience. My patience was tested with this rebuild. And it was time to kind of reward them for their patience. And I'm really gratified by the response. I can't tell you how grateful I am to our fans for their response. It's heartwarming. It really is.
I just want to tell you, John, when you come back to town, be prepared to sign a lot of autographs like you would do it Saturday.
I'm happy to stand on a street corner for as long as people want to come up to me.
Tell us where you're going to be, all right? Hey, John, congratulations.
maybe I'll be with you. I'll do a show in somewhere, Rittenhouse Square or someplace like that, huh?
John, congratulations to you and the entire organization. This has been, one of the greatest off seasons ever. We can't wait for opening day. Love it.
We can't either, but don't forget Matt Klentak's the guy, the general who engineered this.
I heard that, John. Thank you so much, and thank you for doing this today.
Thanks.
John Middleton, managing partner. And I really like that guy.
Yeah.
He's so easygoing. He's energetic. He wants to win.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.